do your
rock star.
I have my radio voice. All right, Scott, are we broadcasting?
Do you really have radio voice?
I'm working on the clock, though. Good morning, folks. This is Commissioner Brian Culk. We're meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today for a work session on case number PU12767, Great River Energy's proposed nitrogen fertilizer plant in Stutsman County for a jurisdictional determination. We've had several work sessions on this particular case. We had one last week, and I don't know if this will be our last one. It might be our last one. We'll see how it all plays out. I don't have any additional comments other than I still where I'm at before. Once the Great River Energy came back with generally serving two customers, my thoughts are still the same that we do not have jurisdiction in this, but I'd be open to comments from my colleagues, and we'll continue forward. So I don't know if Randy or Julie ever wants to go first.
Well, I do continue to find it a pretty intriguing case, and I do have some questions, so I'm glad for the opportunity to
Perfect.
Work through them on this work session.
Okay. Julie?
I don't have any opening comments. I've done a lot of digging on the cases that the staff provided that provide some direction for us on this, and I did some reading of our manuals here, little century code manuals on some of the definitions, and so I'd be interested in hearing kind of the result of Randy's questions and answers, and I think I've come to a conclusion myself.
Okay. This is always the most challenging part of the commission. One of them throws out there where they're at. The other ones want to visit. So will you guys, however you want to do it, where you want to start. Well, if you made up your mind, then if we agree, then we're done, right?
Well, Randy asks questions, and I'm always eager to learn from others' questions. So,
well, while I'm buying time, because I had two guests show up at my office unexpectedly in the last 10 minutes, does Jerry or Alana have anything other than answering questions, or else we just have to give me a minute to organize my...
Well, maybe we could summarize, though, the last work session. I mean, basically, what I believe I heard your staff memo says that we do not have jurisdiction on it. It was your recommendation. And basically, Alana, your legal advice to this point has been very much the same way in support of his memo.
Right. Yeah, we worked on that a little bit together before we went out.
And I would add to my colleagues that very seldom are staff this united in a viewpoint. I don't mean that in a bad way, because usually there's always at least two sides to look at. But a lot of times would give us very strong arguments on either side and let the commission make the decision, which we always ultimately do. But this is one that I thought was very clear out of both of you, the message that I heard.
Okay, I'm ready now.
All right.
Unless there was a response to that.
No. Not for me.
Okay.
He was just filling airtime.
Yeah. It
was. Since we can't go into a commercial break here, Mr. Radio Show Guy.
We could do a one call ad.
Always.
So when I looked at this case before, I guess I always kind of felt under the assumption that what was going to happen here was we were going to bring this whole industrial park together and you know, one thing kind of one entity there kind of plays off another, and it was just going to really work out well. As I follow this up more, I do have some questions. And the first one is, if Otter Tail Power has their CPCN for that area, apparently two or three times the commission's been over that over the years, and they constructed a substation to serve that area, are we kind of effectively stranding Otter Tail Power's investment into that substation and whatever else costs they've developed over the years pursuing the certificates?
You know, I don't think that we have anything before us that really shows that their investment is stranded or not. I mean, what else is going on in that area? What did they build that substation for? How long has it been there? All of those factors would come into it. But
and we don't give a PCNN for an area. That's the other part of this.
you give it One by one.
Customer location.
Really, it's for a specific customer at a specific load location. At a specific location. And there's been some arguments in the past over if you have a PCNN for that location, does it continue to serve a new customer coming onto that location with a different load? And we were looking for the case, and we haven't found it yet, but we remember one that we had that the commission found that that didn't carry over.
It didn't provide precedent that a new customer at an old location automatically was served by the old provider, but we just can't find it. But we remember it that way.
So currently, Otter Tail provides the power for the malting plant, right?
Is that what it says in there?
Yeah. Okay. And that's attached, I think, to the one of Otter Tail's briefs, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
And if everything went GRE's way in this discussion, Otter Tail Power would continue to serve the malting plant? The GRE is really only attempting to serve power here to the fertilizer plant. Is that correct?
The fertilizer plant and there are two plants there. Two items. One of them is a GRE subsidiary, and the other one is the farmers' co-op plant. So there's going to be two loads.
Yeah, two customers, the CHS plant and the Dakota Spirit biorefinery.
Yeah.
So Otter Tail would still have the malting plant, which presumably is what their certificate was for and what they built their substation for.
Yeah, GRE is saying that they're not serving anything but these two loads. So,
and that's a narrower description than it was when they originally asked the question. The commission said we need to know more because we need to know what it really means, public generally. So any conclusion that I'm coming up with is solely limited to the factual understanding that we have today. Anything beyond that, I wouldn't say I have the same opinion on.
If GRE is allowed to do this, will they need to build a substation right beside that and kind of duplicate that?
But these are, I mean, I got to interrupt here, but these are not questions that are in front of us.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, but we're all, I think every one of us is sort of trying to mentally get a handle on the picture. That's a question.
I did ask GRE what facilities they would have to have. And I don't have the answer here right now, but they did supply an answer. I could go look at it, but they weren't sure exactly what they needed. It was still being developed, so I don't know if they needed a sub or not. I can look and see if there was one in their answer there or what you would call a sub.
Because weren't you asking how they were going to, what size of the lines and stuff? Can you get your, can you lay your hands on the answer fairly quickly?
I can run and grab. I had an email back on them on that response. So I can run down and grab that real quick.
That sounds good, Jerry. We might as well get whatever we can for this session.
Okay. Let me do that.
Commissioner Fedorchuk and I just went over the laws and I just want to, I'm just going to re-summarize kind of the question and the possible scenarios, how it plays out. Again, there's no specific statute for a jurisdictional determination, no specific rule, nothing that has a formal framework for this question that was written in this letter that was then sort of supplemented with another filing. It's it's very common for these companies or potentially regulated parties to say, we think we're going to do thus and so. What do you think? You know, and staff gives an answer a lot. Sometimes it comes to the commission. So when you answer GRE's letter, that's all you're doing. That's why we didn't ever see this as rising to the level of a formal case, even though it has a docket number for so we can find it later, unlike the one we're remembering that didn't have a number, obviously. but it doesn't have the effect. Whatever you write back will not have the effect of a formal decision that's appealable or anything like that. There are other ways for a formal decision to come to the commission. The most obvious one that your question just reminded me of and that Commissioner Fedorchuk and I had looked at in the statute is a complaint process. If Otter Tail feels that GRE should have a PCNN and by doing this without one is unreasonably duplicating, there's a complaint process right in 4903, which would bring this question back to the commission. And you might say, oh, da-da-da-da, we've already looked at it. But it would be different because it would be formal. There would be a burden of proof. There would be sworn testimony. There would be a notice. And eventually more information and more sort of reliable information. And I don't mean people are giving us unreliable information, but it's not sworn and it's conjecture and it's planning and it's we're thinking and we're not sure yet. But eventually, if you had a complaint process in front of you, that would all have to be harder information, more real evidence. So today you're only being asked, this is what we think we're going to do. What do you think you'd do? Do you think you'd tell staff to go file a complaint against us for a PCNN? And staff's recommendation is, based on what we know now, I wouldn't recommend staff file a complaint for a PCNN. I mean, that's really what staff is saying here. What we know, we don't see a basis for a PCNN. Could be a lot of other information out there that required some other action. We don't know.
So it's kind of a preparation for a potential complaint like that. Is that, do you think, what Otter Tail was suggesting near the end of their brief in opposition?
You might have to refresh my recollection.
When they say, if the commission is not prepared to prohibit GRE from acting on its plan, the commission would be well served by making clear that GRE's plan poses significant unresolved factual and legal questions, that any action taken by GRE in the face of such questions will be at GRE's risk.
That's a little stronger than I might put it, but it's the same concept. Because what I would say, and I would try to write if I had to write the letter, is that based on the very narrow information that we understand today, and maybe we don't know everything, maybe we are misunderstanding something, but based on what we understand, we don't see a basis for requiring a PCNN. And that's a milder version of what you read.
Having wrestled with some of the same things that I think Randy's wrestling with, I think Otter Tail makes some interesting points here in terms of the duplication of services and the fact that there's a substation out there that they built that was probably charged to customers and ratepayers, and there's infrastructure out there to serve this area, and GRE would be kind of doing the same thing. But I think in this matter, for the PCNN, our question is, are they serving the public generally? And it's obvious to me that they aren't. I mean, they've got two customers and that they just aren't serving the public generally. So that isn't even a question. I think that's where Brian comes down on. It's like, no, that's the answer. I also, after looking at the law and going through it with Alana, even questioned whether GRE needed to come here to begin with, because they aren't required to get a PCNN from us. So
they didn't.
So I think that kind of also speaks to providing the narrowest, looking at this in the narrowest scope so that we aren't getting involved in a whole bunch of issues unnecessarily. I think that's just better practice anyway. Keep our mitts out of things unless we need to be there. And so in this case, I guess I'm coming down to where Brian's at in terms of this is, you know, they don't need a PCNN.
I think you set it up perfectly that some of these cases in front of the commission, no matter what we do, they're going to come back at some point in time. And this, to me, was one of those that the company wanted to get our insight. So they gave us the scope of what they think it looks like now. We make a determination, whatever it might be. You always, I think both parties may come back at this thing. Mm-hmm. But then that would be a formal hearing, and we'd hear the arguments from GRE, why ABC. And we'd hear the arguments from the other company, why they think ABC. And then we'd make a decision that had the force of law with record testimony. But right now, this is all we have.
Well, and it seems...
We could have a complaint filed tomorrow by Otter Tail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. And this case would be an interesting test of how much power do the co-ops have to operate however they choose without our jurisdiction versus, you know, an IOU clearly would have had to come in and get a PCNM for this type of a project. But, you know, the Century Code gives a lot of leeway to co-ops to function without our involvement. So...
I wanted to mention one other thing, just more of background for new commissioners, but I don't want to leave the impression that a company of either side can kind of overbuild in an area so that 10 years later when there's a dispute about unreasonable duplication that they, you know, neither company can go out and invest a lot so that they can win the case later. Because then they have all this infrastructure. So we've had there's a body of law and appeals to the Supreme Court about the investment and whether, you know, you can't run to the investment just to make the facts in your favor when it comes to balancing duplication or interference. Just in a general way. Thanks, Jerry.
Jerry, I'd be interested. You kind of talked a little bit about this at our last meeting, but I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts again on how much you think, how much jurisdiction we have over co-ops in this sort of instance or ever.
Well, it gets a little more complicated than I can tell you because GRE is not a distribution co-op in North Dakota. They're a G&T cooperative in Minnesota. And so they have a cooperative ownership structure, but I don't know what authority they have in North Dakota as a cooperative. They have facilities and stuff like that in North Dakota, but it's an area that needs further thought, I think, by somebody that really knows cooperative law and stuff like that. It would appear to me that they're not a privately owned supplier, as is contemplated in the memo that that goes out. And I don't know, like I say, if they're wanting to provide distribution services a cooperative in North Dakota, what else they'd have to do?
And you know, and I agree, they don't meet that definition of electric public utility in 03. There has been an argument made that then if they don't fall under 03, they must fall under 03.1, which we always think of as applying to gas and telephone. But there's an argument made that it applies to the electric utility that doesn't fit under 03 if they're holding themselves out to the public generally. And so our conclusion about this, not holding yourself out to the public, kind of applies to both, but it would cover that argument. But there could be some other related arguments under 03.1 that we haven't touched on here.
I don't want to suggest that GRE would give poor service, but let's just explore the worst possible scenario. So in 5 years from now, CHS is in here screaming because the rates are outrageous or the service is down far too frequently in their mind?
They can not take service from there, and they can take service, demand service from someone obligated to give them service. GRE is not obligated to give them service. I mean, that is that. That's the component of this.
Who is?
I don't think
one of the other two.
I don't think Otter Tail is either.
No,
it's actually a co-op area.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we use that co-op area loosely. We don't really have like formal areas, but every inch of the state is covered by someone obligated to give them service.
So, Otter Tail's certificate for the malting plant does not obligate them to serve anyone else in that area.
No.
But it brings out an interesting question, because we've had, in the eastern part of the state, there was a town, well, Thompson, the mayor of Thompson came in, and she wanted to get rid of Xcel Energy as a service, as their electricity provider, because of reliability issues. And there was a procedure in place that she could have requested someone else serve her because of reliability. Now, they got it worked out long before it got to that point. But your question, though, we would have never have, I can't see it. Basin questions, Great River Energy. That's between them and these individuals.
And my last question might not be so pertinent to our decision that we have to make here, but am I missing anything? Has there ever been a response from GRE to the concern that Otter Tail Power expressed about that this may not do anything to cause the Spiritwood Station to fire up, that they might just bring in power from the MISO and supply this industrial park?
I don't remember. You mean in some kind of responsive filing?
I don't recall.
I don't recall it either.
Did they say anything about it?
But that is a possibility.
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Should be disappointing, I guess, but
well, there's a lot of
fire that plant up if they need to, or if it's cheaper for them not to, I guess they won't.
Yeah, there's infinite scenarios what could happen with this 99 megawatt plant. It could go back into MISO going the other way, it could do this, it could do that, but we don't know. Maybe not infinite scenarios.
No, but a lot of scenarios. And a lot of impacts and potential policy implications and all of that, but in our mind, not what you're asked to implement
look at today.
Under the statute.
Well, the question that we've asked the previous commission about, there's 99 megawatts of power. Why isn't MDU or Otter Tail trying to get some of that power since they didn't get Big Stone 2 built? I mean, there's lots of questions that surround. That's a lot of power that somebody needs to use somewhere. All right. Anything else, my friend?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So the answer to your substation question is somebody's building one out there. I would guess it's GRE. But you know,
GRE,
I mean, they could have an arrangement
substation
with the customer.
Yeah. Do you want this in the docket? I mean, they said they were just sending it to you, and that was fine with me,
yeah,
too. But
I didn't put it in there. It was
do we
just,
maybe should request. Put it in? Do we want? Does the commission want it docketed in there now, since it's
I think if it's something
under
that we
consideration?
Used, yeah, exactly. If it's something that we talked about, I think it should be.
Okay. If yours is unstable, do give yours to John then later.
Okay.
So would the commission like a letter drafted as carefully as possible to review on an admin or something?
Well,
I don't know
that I've heard what Randy's decision is. I think that would go.
No, I know. That's what I'm trying to get to here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to ask about.
Because it does set up the protocol for the letter. Because it could be two letters.
Right. And a letter, you might want to do something besides a letter, like nothing. That's always an option. You know, they're hearing what you're saying.
Do not respond to a letter.
Well, it's always an option. You ignore it. But, I mean, you may not want to do that, but it's always an option. Just as Jerry said, it's always an option not to. not to sell the electricity. I would hope you respond with a letter or two or three of them.
But sure, it could be three, couldn't it?
Yeah, and you're free to draft it yourselves, too. It's fine with me. Go for it. Just asking.
For my part, I would like to have you guys draft a letter and have it say that we don't think that they're required to get a PCNN.
Based on A, B, C, D, E of the narrow scope of what the question was.
Yep. And then if these conditions change, then we might have a different thought on the matter. But.
And I do think that's correct.
Okay.
We will put this on an admin, and after you see it, then you can decide if you want me to sign it or like somebody in public utilities or if you want to sign it.
I would think that I would not want to sign this one.
Okay.
To give us some more flexibility down the road, for me personally anyway, unless one of, I mean, but then is it better to have it from our general counsel or from public utilities?
Well, I think general counsel's done it in the past for jurisdictional letters after they go on admin.
Like when Bill had all those.
We discussed it, then I was asked to respond, da-da-da-da. So that's the way I'll draft it then.
Okay. So.
And it would be
on. We have a meeting next week. Do we need to do it before then? You've got to.
I don't think so, if that's okay. I think next week is soon enough. And that's,
okay with
I need a little time.
Julie, okay with you?
Yeah, I think they indicated that they weren't in a huge rush. So.
Right.
So, admin.
Yeah. So you put it on. I will draft it, bring it to you to look at. Okay.
Okay. Are there any other questions, comments? All right. With that, we'll close the work session on case number PU12767, and we'll meet again in half hour for the next info session. Thank you.
Guys, see you. That's what you get when you have two new commissioners. Lots of pain.